Hello and welcome to this week's TES podcast. I'm Dave Speck and joining me is the usual team of reporters. We've got Catherine Luff. Hi, Catherine.
Hello. Hi.
We've got Amy Gibbons. Amy, hello.
Hello.
And we've got John Roberts. John, hi.
Hello there.
And Mary Louise Clues. Mary Louise, hello.
Hello.
Now, it's not looking good, to be honest. 2 weeks into the term and teachers are already exhausted, which it seems pretty serious. Amy, what's this story? Can you talk us through it?
Yeah, so it's a fairly bleak outlook, sadly, as we've returned to school. So we know from a letter sent by the Charter College of Teaching ahead of a meeting with the DfE on Monday, they described how teachers are feeling exhausted just 2 weeks into term. I mean, it's not massively surprising, I suppose, given what they've had to cope with so far. We know that there's an awful lot going on and start of term can be a stressful time anyway, let alone what's been going on with COVID. But some of the issues that they raised were about having to field concerns from parents. I suppose people might feel like they don't always have the answers straight away, especially when, you know, they're not completely clear on guidance themselves, or the DfE perhaps are yet to release further guidance on certain things. And the impact on their budgets relating to the cost of cleaning and things like that, how to cope with staff absence, and then also uncertainty surrounding the future. So not knowing necessarily what's going to happen with exams next year, how to plan for it, what to tell students, what to tell parents. There's a lot of uncertainty, and I think that can actually be quite tiring in itself, not having the answers to those questions, but having to go about your day and do the best that you can. So, yeah, it does look like things are proving difficult. And also for newly qualified teachers, the Charter College has highlighted that they're finding the experience of teaching their own classes pretty hard. So lots of things to worry about. Obviously, people are working very hard and doing a great job, but it just highlights how challenging the start term's been.
Yeah, I spoke to a head of English yesterday, and she said even to constantly have to remind yourself to socially distance, that in itself is kind of really tiring to have to remember that all the time. But it does sort of tie in with this report that that was put out yesterday by Education Support, and they're a charity which supports well-being of school staff, and they're sort of uncovered that the majority of teachers have felt unappreciated and unsupported during the pandemic, which is really surprising because, I mean, teachers are key workers, right? And they're supporting the children of other key workers. I think that ties in with this line about exhaustion. But John, let me come to you, because I know that something you picked up this week that the Education Secretary Gavin Williamson said has upset teachers as well, hasn't it?
Yes, that's right. So he was before the Education Select Committee earlier this week, and one of the subjects that came up for discussion was the amount of work pupils did during the lockdown, and a couple of MPs voiced concern that there'd been various reports that some pupils, and particularly disadvantaged pupils, maybe hadn't done any work or hadn't done as much work. And Gavin Williamson was asked about that and asked what Ofsted could do about it. And during his answer, he said that while hundreds, if not thousands, of teachers had gone above and beyond, there were some that hadn't done as much. And that's obviously landed like a lead balloon with the profession and with our readership. Because I think it makes an assumption that just because pupils weren't able to learn, that somehow is translating into a teacher's effort. And I think that's what's really upset teachers. And all the things that Amy just talked about how hard the job is at the moment as well, coupled with the fact that the DfE is not in most teachers' good books at the moment for any number of reasons, be it exams, COVID testing, going all the way back to the lockdown, advice coming late in the day, free school meals, laptops. I tried to put it in a tweet earlier and it wouldn't fit. I think it's like, it's probably a poor choice of words, but I think given the stage he was at, you know, talking to a parliamentary committee about the state of the nation's education system, to say that some teachers haven't done as much work as others, it just seems like an incredible misstep, I think, at a time when the department and its record over the past 6 months, I think,
I mean, teachers have had enormous problems themselves, haven't they, to keep teaching during lockdown. I mean, they've got children themselves, of course. And they've got, you know, when you think about disadvantaged children, all the problems they've got, the chaotic home life in some cases. And
absolutely. And there's questions as well about the technology. You know, laptops didn't arrive. Kids might not have the facilities, or as you say, a home life that lends itself to being able to study. And as well, ultimately, during a pandemic lockdown, what can a teacher do to ensure a pupil learns? You know, I think the question's got to be, just because a pupil didn't learn doesn't necessarily translate that to a school failure. If anything, you could say it's a systemic failure of the fact that we're just simply not built for this yet, and perhaps we will be more in future. But we know, you know, we didn't have a system ready to go where pupils could just learn online.
And, absolutely.
Schools hadn't been given any standards to work to and have kind of solved it all themselves, like a lot of things. So for them to sort of say some didn't do as much as others, yeah, I mean, it's something he said perhaps off the cuff, but is the education secretary speaking before parliament, and it's landed badly.
Go
on, Catherine.
Oh, no, so I was just going to say, it also kind of, like, I've seen some sort of tweets online about this, and just the fact that, you know, like, in terms of the learning, that, like, some schools just couldn't prioritise that because they were also prioritising all the other kinds of support they give their families, like, particularly schools serving deprived communities. Like, their attention was focused on all these other areas, you know, as it kind of had to be in a pandemic situation. And so I think, you know, obviously for those school leaders, for those teachers, that felt really unfair if they have been sorting out things like food parcels, like, you know, wellbeing calls home to check on how students are doing, like doing all of those other pastoral things that, you know, within in this situation, you would absolutely have to prioritise above, you know, say the academic side of things. And so, it seemed like a really unfair criticism in that sense.
Basically, like, a massive oversimplification of a really complicated issue, isn't it? Like, the idea that teachers are doing more or less than each other, they're all doing very different things in very different ways because they are working in different circumstances. And I think that's what's really irritated people, is the idea that you can say some teachers have been doing less. Well, what exactly do you mean by that? And what's the minimum you're expecting them to do? And I think that's definitely, as John said, landed rather badly.
Mm. Catherine, I know this story that we're talking about came out of the Education Select Committee online meeting on Wednesday, and there was another thing that Gavin Williamson mentioned, wasn't there, in that meeting? It was about GCSEs, wasn't it?
He said also that it's a possibility that GCSEs, A-levels, if exams, you know, can't go ahead within schools, that they'll be able to go ahead in public buildings instead, to kind of, I suppose, to create additional space in that instance. So that was interesting. I mean, we haven't really heard, like, much further detail on that in terms of how exactly that would work or which kinds of buildings would be used. But clearly that is something that would be possible and would be a way of getting around, say, for example, school closures next year, then that would be perhaps something that could be used.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting though, because I haven't got the story in front of me, but I wrote one back when schools were partially opening in the summer term, and they said at the time that schools shouldn't use places like community halls to boost space. Mm. And so that position, I know, I understand it's completely different circumstances when it comes to exams, but that position does seem to have changed. Perhaps they just feel that they've got more time to plan for it now, I'm not sure. But that hasn't always been the case, and actually previously schools would not do it. So I was quite surprised to see that come out.
I think one of the things about the kind of exams sort of timeline for next year is you're absolutely right. It does sort of perhaps seem to conflict with things they've said before about using public buildings. And, you know, there was also, I think, mention again of the use of, for example, kind of online tests recently, like if you know, kind of in-person exams can't go ahead. And I think the message that we sort of keep seeing from school leaders on social media is, well, we really need to know what's happening. So, you know, whether they're going to be in public buildings, are they going to be, you know, what's the contingency plan for them being held online if that is going to happen? There's, you know, I feel like these things get sort of thrown out, but there isn't really that much kind of other detail or guidance given. And it does need to be fleshed out, like, pretty quickly, because obviously schools at the moment are planning, you know, their teaching time for the next year, and they need to know this stuff now, really, rather than you know, I think, you know, if they get to sort of half term and still don't know, then that's very difficult.
So we've only just seen guidance for the autumn series, haven't we? And when do they get going?
Catherine. Well, exactly. So they get going really soon, and they've only just published like how to run those exams in a safe way. So it would, I think schools would really appreciate sort of knowing exactly what the, I mean, partly, I suppose, to be fair, partly it's really difficult to predict exactly what the situation is going to be next summer, or what will have happened with coronavirus. So there is that, but I'm sure, you know, something could be put together to say, well, you know, if it's an area of local lockdown, do this. If it's a national lockdown, we're going to have to do this, and kind of put forward a few scenarios to kind of give school leaders that confidence.
Yeah, because one of the points was something like make sure that you've got, Catherine, you wrote the story, so one of the points was you've got to make space for students before the exams so they can be socially distanced before they go in. There's not a whole lot of notice for that as it stands. And so I think perhaps that may cause some stress going ahead, and that's another argument for having the guidance ahead of time, because there will be some schools that say that they're going to struggle to find that space or to kind of implement those measures at short notice.
Can I just ask perhaps a bigger question, a more immediate question? Is there going to be a lockdown at half term, Mary Louise?
Well, according to reports today, apparently the government scientists that sit on the SAGE committee have put a proposal together and proposed to Number 10, to the Prime Minister, around doing a national lockdown around half term to minimise disruption to schools. I think the proposal was to go for a 2-week lockdown, so you would have 1 week obviously when schools are shut anyway, and then just have a week that we could plan for, schools could plan for in terms of doing setting some online work running into the half term. I mean, schools tend to kind of sort of think about kind of slowing down to half term in that last week, so it might work. There seems to be have been some support on social media from head teachers and teachers and governors as well, saying actually I think this could really work, and perhaps we could plan for a longer period if that's needed, 3 or 4 weeks around half term, and we can, as long as we sort of decide now that that's going to happen, then we can put together a program of work for the children during that period, and it'll be more controlled and managed. But yeah, I mean, obviously we haven't seen the official documents. It's only according to reports seen by the Financial Times. So we'll see. I know I've seen a couple of teachers on social media saying, no, it won't happen. It's too much of a sensible plan. we'll see. But I mean, there is talk in the news today about sort of plans around a national lockdown coming next week. So will that be soon enough? I don't know. Watch this space.
Well, it all seems to be a bit pointless without a decent, adequate, rapid testing system, which just seems to be the kind of top priority that isn't happening to me. To everybody.
Yeah. I think Dido Harding, who's head of the track and trace system, said something, has been saying in reports recently, that they didn't anticipate the level of demand when schools reopened. I think she has said that they modelled an increase in demand when schools reopened, but they didn't expect such a huge surge. I think that they didn't expect people to go and get tests when they didn't have symptoms. But it seems perfectly sensible to me, and I'm not a specialist in this area, she is, but to think, well, if you've got schools going back and you've got anxious parents and you've got anxious teachers, you might have teachers who are vulnerable, you know, if there's reports of a pupil with symptoms and having a test, then people that have been in contact with that pupil, that teacher might think, well, I better get tested and just to be on the safe side. So yeah, it's but John, I think you had a story quite late last night, didn't you, about that schools can now apply for more home testing kits.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had we've had schools started the term with 10 home testing kits, and they were kind of described as almost like an emergency to be used in exceptional circumstances on the off chance that someone can't access a test. But obviously, like the whole country up and down, we've seen reports that people can't access tests. And schools, we've had reports that those 10 tests have been rapidly depleted, unsurprisingly. The government have been talking about being able to give schools more. And yeah, last night we had confirmation that translates to is if you're a school with more than 1,000 pupils, you can get 20 tests now in your kind of reorder. If you've got more than 2,000, you can get 30 tests. But that means for pretty much every primary school in the country, they can only order 10 tests at a time once every 3 weeks. And, you know, you can just see that isn't going to solve the problem. Gavin Williamson, back at the Select Committee, was asked if he could guarantee testing within 48 hours for everyone who needs it. And he didn't give that guarantee and said, no, but what we have done is sent these home tests to schools. But the numbers just aren't going to meet the demand, not now and not ever either, because it's not as if this is going to be one initial wave and then it's all going to calm down. Cold and flu season will continue throughout the winter. And every time someone gets a COVID symptom, they're going to want to have a test. I think the obviously schools are using these tests, so it's good that they have them. But effectively, having one for every 100 pupils is not going to get it done, not at all.
Although it has been said that schools will be prioritised for test right, or it was suggested this week. So we hope that at least they'll be somewhere near kind of the front of the queue when it comes to rapid testing. But obviously it remains to be seen how quickly that can be rolled out and how effective it will be.
Indeed. Well, look, I think we've probably talked enough for this week. Unfortunately, time is our master, as ever. So is there anything we can end on, like a happy and finally, I don't think there is this week, but listen, well, look, thanks for listening and watching, and catch us next week. Bye.